Wachovia looks like there's someone new to watch over you.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Wells Fargo is buying Wachovia for just over $15 billion. That takes Citigroup and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation out of the picture. Citi was only looking to grab Wachovia's banking operations. The FDIC said it would step in to pick up any loan losses. Wells Fargo says this morning it will acquire all of Wachovia and that it doesn't need the government's help. We're joined now by Chris Whalen, Managing Director of Institutional Risk Analytics. Chris, you've been watching these developments for a while. What do you think of Wachovia now getting together with Wells?
I think they're a much better fit for one another. I also was really a little concerned about Citi because, you know, they have the most subprime consumer focus in their business model. Citi's loss rate on loans, for example, tends to be twice the other large bank peers. So I am not keen on seeing Citi buy anything right now.
And we should mention that Wells Fargo did play a little game of hard to get here because it had initially wooed Wachovia with a $20 billion figure, kind of pulled out of that. That's when the Citigroup FDIC thing started.
Correct.
And then came back.
That's
what
right.
Brought Wells back to this?
Well, I think the Wells Fargo folks ran the numbers and they decided that they needed to make a bid. If you look at Wells Fargo's perspective, they have a way of getting into the Northeast, into the Southeast, and that's a beautiful thing for them because they're now a national franchise. And once they deal with the asset quality problems, they have tremendous people at Wachovia that they can integrate into the Wells Fargo operation. And I think they couldn't say no. They had to get in the game, and that's great news for all of us.
How important is the timing of this deal coming down on this day of the House bailout vote? I guess this raises the question, is government intervention truly necessary right now?
Well, not this intervention. I've been opposed to the House plan since day one. And the reason is that we're fighting a battle that we should have fought 6 months ago in terms of liquidity, the accounting rules that started this mess. And really, the big picture here is we're going through a deflation. We're having asset values fall, a lack of a bid for many assets. We have to fix that and make leverage our friend again.
But I have to ask you this. I mean, it seems the perception, at least, is that Wall Street is so much counting on this bailout at this point.
Well, don't worry about Wall Street. Believe me, Wall Street will be there tomorrow. We've got to stop looking at short-term market indicators as an indication of reality. I think we spend far too much time looking at the television set and far too little time talking to one another. And if we did more of the latter, I think we could get out of this.
Well, it was good talking to you.
Thank you.
Chris Whalen of Institutional Risk Analytics. Lobbying in Washington is reaching a fever pitch today as the House gets ready to vote on that $700 billion bailout. From Washington, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Business lobbyists have been doing a full-court press on lawmakers this week. Representatives of the Chamber of Commerce, National Association of Manufacturers, and Financial Services Roundtable have been prowling the halls of Congress. Scott Talbot is among them. He's the roundtable's chief lobbyist. He says momentum is picking up in favor of the bill. Talbot points to a series of letters sent to House members signed by business leaders.
Our first letter that we sent up had 15 signatures. And we sent a letter up yesterday with 700 signatures.
Talbot has asked local business owners to also call their members of Congress. But the fiscally conservative Blue Dog Democrats don't like the legislation. It has about $150 billion in tax breaks that are not offset by spending cuts. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to helping Americans save on gas and become energy independent at publictransportation.org. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing, constantcontact.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, letting listeners know that October is Sudden Cardiac Awareness Month. More about SCA risks and treatment at hearthelp.com.
Our special coverage of the financial crisis continues with the next stop in Road to Ruin. Almost every day, a group of seniors gathers at a Charlotte, North Carolina Panera. They drink coffee and discuss the events of the day, like the bailout. Marketplace's Amy Scott sat in on the latest coffee talk.
The morning after the Senate approved its $700 billion bailout bill, it was all Don Brown and his friends at the Ballantyne Village Panera could talk about. The retired businessman was especially bothered by the earmarks he'd heard senators had squeezed into the package.
Now they're throwing in $6 million for an arrow company that makes arrows, $160 million for a rum company down in Puerto Rico.
Most mornings, Brown and a group of anywhere from 8 to 20 seniors show up here. They sip coffee from personalized mugs. The talk ranges from good restaurants to grandchildren. But these days, the economy dominates the discussions. Bob Brown, a retired labor mediator and no relation to Don, says Congress had to do something.
The banks are not able to move their money. And you and I can't get a loan. You know, you can't buy a washing machine or a refrigerator or something on credit. And if that happens, everything dries up, people get laid off.
Brown says he's fared okay in the downturn. He's Catholic and says he got a lucky piece of investment advice from upstairs.
I guess the Holy Spirit told me to take my money out of the stocks last November and put it in CDs and stuff. And thank God I didn't put it into an AIG or something.
Don Brown did invest in AIG. He bought stock after the federal government loaned the company $85 billion. He says he doubled his money. But not everyone in the group is so comfortable. A few months ago, Sue Thompson lost her job in the insurance business.
Luckily enough, right now, my husband and I are okay. We're being very careful. No credit cards.
There are several centuries worth of collective wisdom in this group. And having been through recessions and stock market crashes, one thing they all agree on is that we'll get through this, too. In Charlotte, North Carolina, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Something else to talk about. Despite some rough news on payrolls, the Wells-Wachovia deal and the bailout seem to be pushing stock futures higher right now. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.